This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All your ears are belong to us.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/8DAG. There's over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or any MP3 player you pretty much have. On today's episode of Error Code 8, a reporter gets blocked for critical tweets, Google delays the Nexus Q, and at the Olympics, don't tweet unless you absolutely have to. Stay tuned. Welcome back to another episode of Error Code 8. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, is Sam Briggs.
Hello and welcome back, everyone.
We're going to hit it off right away because we got actually a reasonable amount of news to cover today. The notes, I think, have been longer than they have been for the last couple of weeks. Everyone's not afraid of Apple or Google or anyone else,
yeah,
I guess.
It's all actual positive news.
It's real news. All right, the first, well, it's not all positive. This is actually, I don't know about this one. I haven't decided yet. Twitter responds to a suspended, or an account, okay? Twitter does look at the things you post, okay? I mean, everybody looks at them, but Twitter kind of has to keep tabs because it's their company. Well, there was a reporter, his name is Guy Adams. He was tweeting pretty critical tweets about NBC's coverage over the Olympics. And as we all know, NBC has been having some issues there. have you watched the Olympics at all, Sam?
Just the women's volleyball.
I kind of figured.
But there's anyway. A story behind that one.
Yeah, well, in there always. I just read it for the articles. So they've been having a little bit of an issue with the Olympic coverage. There is, you know, a lot of people there, and because of that, the data is a little bit thin in that area. Well, the big problem is that he tweeted also amongst all these tweets the email address of the corporate email address of one of the executives at the network. So NBC immediately took that chance to take his account down, to suspend it completely using Twitter's complaint department. One of their things is you can't tweet personal information about someone who doesn't want you to tweet it. That allowed them to take him down, which, you know, as well as I do, NBC pretty much did that because he was saying other things. But that was the one thing they could get him for.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Al Capone and tax evasion, really. So his account is back up now. And, you know, they explained to him that's what the issue was. He can't tweet identifiable information. So, you know, Guy Adams might want to check those email addresses next time.
Indeed. In regards to this, I'm okay with it. I mean, there's got to be – everything's got rules. You can't have a completely lawless website or program. It doesn't work that way. Now – it is something because no one read the terms of service agreement. This is the on-running joke. No one actually knows what the rules of anything are. It would probably be better because Twitter seems to step on people's toes a lot on accident. They probably need to post it or have it a more visible place so that when someone gets bored, they can go read it.
Very true. But, I mean, honestly, when are you ever that bored?
Good point.
If I was ever that bored, my eyes would start to bleed, and then I wouldn't be able to read it anyway. So, all right, on the topic of data and the Olympics.
Flawless segue.
Technically, that's a double flawless segue. Yeah, you don't see those very often. The Olympics is having a little bit of an issue with TV coverage and things like GPS tracking on some of the cyclists during the you know, the actual cycling part of it, because of the number of people that are there and the amount of data that they're gobbling up.
Man,
yeah,
that's insane.
And I mean, there are, I mean, the number of people at the Olympics is just, I can't even imagine. It's a ridiculous amount. But because of that, it's, you know, like I said, there's only so much data that those towers can handle. And I mean, they are just getting sucked alive. You know, they don't have enough data to put it out. So the people at the Olympics are kind of basically, I mean, they're saying it in different ways, but basically if you sum it all the way down, don't tweet unless you have to.
Yep. And good luck with that. I mean, it's the Olympics. Everybody wants everyone to know where they're at and what they're seeing.
Exactly. So if you're at the Olympics, lay off the data. I know you're not going to, but I'll say that. All right. This next one comes from Google. Google is postponing the Nexus Q launch. If you don't remember the Nexus Q, it's the little orb that hooks up to the best speakers and the best TV in your house and gives you the best sound possible. The thing that costs $300 that I really couldn't find a use for. It's a little weird. But the Nexus Q, Google is basically saying that they're improving on the design, making it do more things. And this is the cool part. This was $300. All right, this is where it pays to be an early adopter. For $300, you were going to get this thing just as is. Now, if you pre-ordered before now, then what's going to happen is you are going to get a free Nexus Q. That's right. If you already had your pre-order in when they announced this delay, they cancel out the money and they're just going to send you a Nexus Q. How freaking awesome is that?
I'm sure it's a... Well, it depends what they add to it. Otherwise, I mean, a free paperweight is still just a paperweight.
Yeah, but I could find something. I'd play shuffleboard or something with it for free. I mean, come on.
True.
Free is
I'd actually,
free.
I'm going to say, I tell people I bought it. Just, oh, yeah, it cost me this much.
It's a special edition. You see that S? It's a little bigger than the rest of them. Yep. It cost me $700. I'd have it on my table and turned on as a centerpiece. Where the little ring is just going around it. Mew, mew, mew. But yeah, so if you were already on the pre-order list, congratulations, you just got a free Nexus Q when you expected to spend $300. If you're not, womp womp, sorry. If you get on it now, I don't think it's going to matter. I think you're still going to end up paying $300. Unless they delay it again, you never know. All right, related Google news, and I'll give myself one of these.
Flawless segue.
Two in one show, oh yeah. Now, Sam, you are on Sprint, but you don't have an Android phone.
Of course.
So, although, after this, real quick, we're going to talk about why you're thinking of changing.
Okay.
You might as well. Just make it a little quick thing. Google has had a little deal with Sprint. It's Google Wallet. On a lot of the Google-specific phones and the Galaxy S3 that just came out, Google Wallet was an app that allows you to use the NFC radio, the near-field communications chip, in the back of the phone to tap your phone to a NFC payment terminal, like you'd find at a lot of McDonald's have them, Home Depot has them, I think Lowe's has them. You know, a lot of different places have these, you just don't ever notice it. It lets you tap your phone to it and pay with a card that you've set up on your phone, a credit card, debit card, something like that. Up until recently, the only two cards you could use were a Citi MasterCard and Google's prepaid card. Now, as of today, you can add any credit or debit card to Google Wallet. This is freaking huge because I don't have a Citi MasterCard. So I was using the Google prepaid card and I'd put enough on there for lunch for a little while and I'd tap it to, you know, do it for McDonald's or something like that, something cheap and easy. Now, with this being able to use credit or debit card, I'm going to be doing reflooring in my house. You can freaking guarantee that I'm going to use this thing to buy it just because it's going to be freaking cool. You know? Like, all right, you're going to be paying with cash, credit, or debit. I'm going to be paying with phone. Wah-pah! You know, so it's really nice if you have this app to be able to add any credit or debit card you usually have your phone easier to get to than your wallet. At least I do. I know. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to fish around, find the card, pull it out, swipe it, do a PIN number, blah, blah, blah. You type in a PIN on your Google Wallet, select the card, tap it, done. So this is pretty good, pretty big. I'm glad. I think the Google Wallet will get a lot more traction now because of its ability to use different cards.
Oh, hands down, yes.
So, Sam, tell me why you might be joining me in the loveliness that is Google Android.
I would say right now it's a toss-up. It's going to be a very difficult battle between Android and iOS. But sadly, the days of WebOS for me have come to an end. HP announced the other day that they have more of Open WebOS released, the Luna System Manager and a few other core parts. And sadly, it will not work on any existing WebOS device, including the touchpad, and in fact, won't work on a lot of devices right now, simply because they chose to use the standard Linux kernel 3.3 instead of 3.1. Well, all you Android enthusiasts out there, your devices are almost guaranteed using 3.1. So being able to steal and swap the drivers for, say, wireless cards and things like that has become a bit more difficult. It's no longer so simple to do that, which means I could actually be sitting here waiting for an operating system to launch that will literally run on no hardware. That's not a gamble I'm willing to take.
That's kind of true.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally like, this is an operating system. What does it do? It powers the hardware of a device and allows you to interact with it. And HP has just announced that they've created an operating system with not only not any hardware that they're making, but a slim chance of even working on any hardware out there now. You're looking at any of the Intel or Texas Instruments, any of the chips made by them, has the highest chance of having support, but they don't have full support right now.
It's looking like Jelly Bean is based on 3.1.10.
Okay, there you go.
Ish. I'm getting answers anywhere from some versions of Android running on 2.6 all the way up to 3.1.10.
Okay. So yeah, 3.1.10, it was the most current version of 3.1, if I remember right.
Gotcha. Well, that would make sense, being that Jelly Bean has pretty much just come out.
Right. Yeah, but they have not, I mean, even Android has not adopted the 3.3 standard Linux kernel. I have no idea what HP's thinking. Very few, very, very, very few people have adopted the 3.3 update yet. It's just, there's no reason to. So, you know, there is security reasons, various other things, but as of right now, the majority of operating systems out there use 3.1, and that is going to make it not play nicely on that hardware. So,
Sorry,
yep.
Sam.
yeah, it's just what happens whenever corporations come in and don't do awesome things with awesome products.
Very true. Very
but,
true.
For those of you listeners out there who have an opinion on which way I should go, note this. I'm on an employee plan for my cell phone provider. That means I cannot use a 4G device.
That's your biggest problem, because all the newest devices that are really cool on Android are 4G.
Exactly. Which means I'm looking at the iPhone. Or if any of you happen to know of a really, really awesome 3G Android phone, somehow that came out recently, my only motivation for picking an Android phone over an iPhone is the ability to install BootsyGecko and possibly one day in the future open WebOS. But at this point in time, I'm looking at BootsyGecko.
Anyone else wouldn't look that far ahead. I'm just saying.
I only have enough money to buy one device a year. So that one device, especially because I'm buying it, normally I would never buy a device at the end of a year. I always buy it at the beginning of the year.
That's true.
And the thing is, I'm in a very unique, stuck position.
You know, rumors are saying that the new iPhone should be being released sometime in the end of September. That's only 2 months away. I would wait then, and then maybe you can get the old iPhone cheaper.
That's actually what I'm expecting to do at this point in time. I'm not in any major rush to get a new device at the same time.
You're never really in a rush to do much, are you?
No, I'm a very laid-back person.
Yeah, that's why I like you.
I need – my Palm Pre is failing. It's one of those – it's I work a machine shop. It's gotten knocked around quite a few times. So there's actually a very good chance that when I go to make an insurance claim on it, there are no more Palm Pre's. So –
oh, well, yeah.
I have to – at that point in time, they'll stick me with an LG Optimus. They already tried doing that before. Not doing it. So I'm going to probably end up buying – a used iPhone and then trading it in, selling it back, whatever, whenever the new one comes out and the other one comes down in price.
Gotcha.
That's my plan.
Nice. Okay, we got another story here. Dropbox. They recently had a spam attack where people were getting spam from Dropbox. That was bad. What had happened is a security breach allowed people to get in and get some login names and passwords, okay? And they don't, they're not saying how many login names or passwords were taken. But one of them was a Dropbox employee. This account contained a client emailing address or an email list. So they were able to spam pretty much all those email accounts. In a response, Dropbox is basically saying, you know, don't be stupid, change your account. I added the don't be stupid part. But change your password, definitely, just in case. You know, might as well. I mean, it's easy. And then they're also going to be offering, sooner or later, a two-factor authentication option. Now, they haven't said really what that's going to be. There are several different types of two-factor authentication options in, you know, on the market today. So we'll have to see which one they do. You know, you've got your basic security question things. Basically, what it'll be is you have to do two things instead of one to get into your account, just to make it harder for people to, you know, if they get your password, they've only got half of what they need to get into your account.
Right.
So, you know, this, I mean, it's not a horrible, ridiculous security breach where all everyone's data is compromised, but just in case, go in, change your password, and just be safe, you know, and make your password something difficult and not something you use on every other site. And for things like that, I do suggest LastPass. They have a password generator, and they'll keep all your passwords organized and autofill them in most browsers for you. So it's pretty nice. And that version is actually free. If you want to get it on your mobile phone, too, it's like $12 a year. No, $1 a month. It's ridiculous. So, all right. Now we get to talk about something I've actually been pretty excited to talk about, Sam.
Oh, and what's that?
We have a sponsor! Whoa! Muppet Arms, whoa! Now, our sponsor is Audible.com. You probably heard it at the beginning of the podcast. Audible.com is a great place where you can go and get hundreds of thousands of audiobooks. I mean, I am a huge fan of audiobooks. Have you ever listened to an audiobook, Sam?
Just one.
What was it?
All right, explicit warning for those of you, go the fuck to sleep.
I love it.
It is the stereotypical one that everyone's listened to, but really, it was excellent. Excellent book.
That's great. I wonder if Audible has that. Did you look for that yet?
No, I have not.
Actually, yes, they do.
There you go.
And if you're a member for Audible.com, it's $1.36.
Yep.
That's nothing. Nothing for that kind of entertainment. Basically, what Audible has allowed us to give to you is a 30-day free trial. So if you go to the URL, okay, it's a URL. It's audibletrial.com/8DAG. It's the acronym for 8 Days a Geek, okay? If you go there and sign up for the 30-day free trial, you will get, you know, you put in your info, and Audible is owned by Amazon. So if you already have an Amazon account, Audible will take all your account information from there and it makes sign up just incredibly easy. So you go to Audible, sign up using that URL, and it will give you 30 free days and one credit. Audible uses a credit system for all of their audiobooks. Each book has a credit price. Most books are one. There are a few books that are two, but those books are really big books or really expensive. Using that one credit, that allows you to get any one credit audiobook. Okay, you can listen to it as much as you want, download it on all of your Android, your Kindle, your iPhone, all your MP3 players. Download and listen to it until you're blue in the face. Okay. At the end of the 30 days, if you decide you don't want to keep it, which I don't know how you're going to come to that conclusion, but if you do, you cancel your account and you keep that audiobook. That one is on us, okay? I'm giving you an audiobook so that you will try out Audible. So go there, sign up, try it out for 30 days and get a free book. You might as well. A free book's a free book. We just talked about a free Nexus Q, so get a free book, you know? And that's all you have to do for that is sign up on a website. It's very easy to cancel your account if you have to. Like I said, I really don't think you will. It will hook you in very quickly. So, again, that URL is audibletrial.com/8DAG. All right. Also, because Audible is now a sponsor, we are going to be suggesting an audiobook on all of our shows. This audiobook is one that I have already listened to, and I have a feeling that all of our listeners will love this book. This book could be your one credit. This could be your free book. This book is Ghost in the Wires, My Adventure as the World's Most Wanted Hacker. Now, it's the biography of Kevin Mitnick. Kevin Mitnick is pretty much the hacker of hackers. You know, he started back in the day when they didn't even know what to call hacking. And, you know, he was cracking into phone companies and rerouting phone numbers. And it's just incredibly interesting, amazing stuff that he talks about. And the whole book is just great. It gives you insight into, you know, his life and what he did. And then he also talks about how he wiretapped the NSA or FBI and basically wiretapped the people who are wiretapping him. You know, it's really the underdog story where you start to just root for him, like, yeah, stick it to him. And he's very humble, very modest, and, you know, a lot of the stories about him are not true. And he says that. He says, you know, I never hacked into this, I never hacked into that, but I got blamed for it and I went to jail for it. So, you know, it's a very, very interesting book. Like I said, that's Ghost in the Wires, My Adventures as the World's Most Wanted Hacker. And just to give you an idea of what an audiobook sounds like, I'll play a real quick sample for you guys, and it'll give you a clue as to what you're going to be listening to when you sign up for your free trial.
Prologue. Physical entry. Slipping into a building of your target company. It's something I never like to do. Way too risky. Just writing about it makes me practically break out in a cold sweat. But there I was, lurking in the dark parking lot of a billion-dollar company on a warm evening in spring, watching for my opportunity. A week earlier, I had paid a visit to this building in broad daylight on the pretext of dropping off a letter to an employee.
So, yeah, good stuff. I cannot suggest this book enough. It's, let's see here. It's about almost 14 hours long. That's a lot of commuting, a lot of exercising. I listen to it when I walk. I listen to it on my way to work and on my way home. I listen to it when I'm doing the dishes. So check it out, audible.com. You can go to our URL. Once again, is audibletrial.com/8DAG. And now, back to the news. Also an Amazon news story. I'm not going to do a full segue because that was an ad. Amazon Instant Video has come to the iPad. So now you can get your Prime Video on your iPad. Now, rumors are coming in, however, that jailbroken iPads do not allow it to run. I'm not positive. I guess I could have been a good host and downloaded it and told you that beforehand. But, you know, I'm a jackass like that, and I can't help it. So, anyway, like I said, this is... Prime Video is actually not that bad. It's It's got quite a few TV shows, quite a few movies on it. You know, I use it on my Roku quite a bit. You do have to have an Amazon Prime subscription, or you can pay for the videos and movies as you go. Prime gives you like a whole list of free stuff that you can get. So it has come to the iPad. If you are not on a jailbroken iPad, you shouldn't have any problems. And maybe if I'm a nice guy, before the end of the show, I'll be able to tell you whether or not a jailbroken iPad will have a big problem with it.
It's interesting.
Interesting. All right. This one also has to do with those rebellious people who like to do things that their devices don't want them to do. Verizon has talked to the FCC, and they have decided to settle for $1.25 million and stop blocking tethering apps. For those of you who don't know, when you tried to install a tethering app on your phone to tether your phone to your computer to share internet on a Verizon network, the Google Play Store would tell you it is not available on your carrier. So you could not install it unless you sideloaded it, and then there was no complete guarantee. Now, you know, Verizon was, they turn off the tethering feature in most of their phones because they don't want you using your data for anything you'd ever actually want to use it for. So, Sam, what do you think about carriers doing this in general, dictating what apps can be installed on a phone?
In regards to install what apps can be installed on it, I'm against it. It is one of those things that it may be their, well, it's not their anything. It is literally not their anything. All they do is provide a service. That would be, again, like we said last time, equivalent to my internet provider here at the apartment dictating what I install on my Windows machine. That makes no sense. I don't care if whatever I install is a massive data hog. I'm sorry, I've ran servers for video games that I'm sure were eating up a crazy amount of bandwidth, and they never cared. So, you know, if the infrastructure is not there for people to be doing it, then work on the infrastructure because people want to do it. There you go. Simple as that.
Very true. And I feel the same way. It's when it comes right down to it, you know, like we said on the episode, we talked about paying for the pipe and paying for the service. This is an app. It's something that we want to put on our phones, so it shouldn't be dictated by carrier. They're living back in the days with, you know, WAP browsers on little texting phones.
Right.
And they were able to dictate, you know, oh, well, this ringtone costs $5. It's 30 freaking seconds long, but it costs $5. Mm-hmm. And today, you can't do that. So much power has been taken away from the carriers. They are at the mercy of us, not the other way around.
Easily. You
know, people, there is so much competition in the carrier market. People are able to finally vote with their dollar and decide, this is what we want. Screw you, Verizon. So,
now, I will say in regards to like the tethering, I pay for it. Sprint is not on a government-required open access spectrum block with their 3G network. I pay for tethering as part of my employee plan. In regards to the apps, or in regards to that, I understand some of the fear of the carriers because if you have a malicious app or anything like that, granting it access to create local area networks and various other things, I can see where there is someone sitting in a room who legitimately, you know, is worried about customer experience and everything else. However, again, not their problem, not what they have to be worried about. That's something that Google has to worry about. So,
very true. Oh, and I will confirm, as of right now, jailbroken iPads cannot play video in Amazon Prime on Amazon Instant Video.
That is what I was saying interesting to. That's,
yeah.
I wonder what security check it's failing.
Not sure. But I give it a day.
More or less.
And then there will be a plug-in in the city store to bypass it. I pretty much guarantee it. So, all right. So Verizon, basically, they now have to let people install tethering apps. And they say as long as you're on a usage-based pricing plan that they will allow it. And although they don't specifically say this, the way it reads to me is if you're on an unlimited plan and you're grandfathered in, you don't get to do this.
Nope.
How they're going to be that specific about it, not sure. I think it's going to come back to bite them in the butt, but we'll see what happens.
What I actually expect is that if they look and see, hey, this person just used 8 gigabytes, double check their plan. Oh, they're on unlimited. Is that tethered? Are they paying for tethering? Boot them.
Yep. Yep, very true. Freaking hate carriers. All right. Last story. This one, I had to put it in because I find it freaking hilarious. 50 Shades of Grey. Have you read that yet, Sam?
No.
You haven't? You haven't read it by the pool or doing laundry or anything like that?
I'll be completely honest. I think we may have... Did we talk about this one once before on this podcast?
I don't think so.
Okay, I don't think so either. The thing is I remember talking, having one conversation about it, but I had completely and totally forgotten about it until the other day, sitting in a restaurant and all the girls working there were talking about it. And I had to ask what it was.
Oh, I bet that was a fun conversation.
Oh, it was a very interesting conversation.
Oh, that's great. Oh, man. See, I actually, a friend of mine told me that he paid me $10 to listen to read it. And I got like the first couple chapters and then I lost interest. So I don't know. Hey, if you want though, you can go to audibletrial.com/8DAG. And I just realized 50 Shades of Grey, the first book of that, of the 50 Shades trilogy, is available for 1 credit.
There you go. This is probably the best deal you'll find on those books right now.
Exactly. I mean, that's free. Free. And plus, if you're a member, you get 25% off, so it's actually regular price. A la carte is like $23.52.
Not bad.
Which is still a pretty good price.
But yep. Yeah,
for 1 credit. So go pick it up. It probably a little better in audio, I would think. But anyway, 50 Shades of Grey has officially outsold Harry Potter on Amazon UK. I like that. I like that story. It's not really necessarily new tech news related, except for the fact that it's Amazon, and it's in the UK. It's not here, but it's still outsold freaking Harry Potter.
I wonder. Well, the thing is, the reason for that, I wonder how much the success of the Kindle Fire played into that.
You know what? I think between the Kindle Fire, all the Kindles, really, I think is your big thing.
Yeah,
you know they're. Back when Harry Potter first came out, they were big, but they weren't this big. Now the Kindles are so affordable and so big that it's easy for people to just get this stuff. And you got the Kindle app on so many things.
Exactly.
That now it's such a low cost of entry.
Well, think about whenever the Kindle first came out, and it would have been popular among generally an older segment of people, more than likely. But since then, with the apps, with all the other little things that it does, you know, now kids are getting it. Now it's more common. It now runs the gamut from 13 years old up all the way to 80 years old. So, yeah, just that market exposure, I bet, has played a huge part in allowing 50 Shades of Grey to topple Harry Potter.
Very, very true.
There, I tied it to technology.
Technology. All right. That's all we have for you this week, guys. So tune back in next week for more loveliness and more Audible book suggestions, you know.
Indeed.
I really am, and I will never suggest, by the way, an audio book that I have not listened to. So trust me when I say... Every book we suggest, I've listened to. I love audiobooks, and because of that, I will never try to steer you wrong. We'll try to make it, you know, coherent with the podcast, so most of these will be tech books. But, you know, and Sam, by the way, if you listen to sign up for Audible, buddy, and listen to some of the books, and I want you to bring in some suggestions, too. And if anyone out there in the podcast land has any suggestions for us for audiobooks, send them to us via our email addresses or our voicemail line, which we'll give you in a little bit, and maybe we'll feature your suggestion on the podcast. So, Sam, tell the people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you.
You can find me on Twitter at TheManItToMan. You can find me on Gmail, ManItToMan@gmail.com. Sam Briggs at 8daysageek.com or Sam Briggs on Facebook.
Good Lord, that was nice. That was beautiful. Wow.
That's now, can stuff. We just copy and paste that in every...
I know, right? It's so good that now I'm just going to have a sound bite of everything. Yeah. We'll have a whole podcast of sound bites. We won't even have to talk. I'll just push buttons.
With all the lawsuits and everything else like that, it would actually be really easy to do if we just wanted to only cover those.
That's true. We could just have keywords.
Exactly.
Like, lawsuit, Apple. And it'll sound like Joshua from War Games. Would you like to play a game of chess? All right. For me, my email address is jesse@8daysageek.com. I'm on Twitter at Pen of Doom. You can find everything else about me on about.me/Jesse Miller. See, I could do it fast, too.
There you go. It was almost like yours was simpler.
Mine is simpler because I use about.me.
And here we go again.
I'm just saying, Sam. It's a simple site to sign up for. Anyway, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail or send us a text message, both those can go to this number, 754-273-6397. And in case you already signed up for audibletrial.com/8daysageek, or 8DAG, sorry, pull out your earplugs, push the pause button, and that number is 754-273-6397. Okay, you can put those back in, push the play button, and continue. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us this week for Error Code 8, and join us next week for more fun and games. Sam, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.